I don't know how many messages that I've preached, maybe hundreds, from this chapter, from this little book of the Word of God, these four chapters of God's Word, and I've spent so much time in the first chapter of this book. Tonight, or this morning, we'll not spend any time, I don't suppose, outside of just setting the story in the first chapter, and then I want to spend all of our time in chapters 3 and 4, primarily in chapter 4, and try to preach to you a little bit about redemption. From chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. Matter of fact, Brother John preached out of the book of Ruth at his wedding, out of chapter number 1. And the only way I told him I'd marry him is if I got to preach at the wedding. He said, "You want me to preach the wedding?" I said, "If you want me to preach the wedding, I'm going to preach the wedding." He said, "I want you to preach the wedding." So I preached the wedding. And of course, it was a little different than a normal sermon. It was only about half as long. But the very important lesson to be learned from the book of Ruth. A lot of important lessons to be learned. A lot of practical lessons, a lot of spiritual lessons, a lot of important scriptural lessons to be learned in the book of Ruth. And it's a tremendous book of the Bible. Here it is, just after the book of Judges, just before the book of Samuel. It's at the end of the time when the judges ruled in the land. Chapter number 21 and verse number 25 of Judges had just closed out, saying, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And then he begins in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth and tells of the disobedience and of the life of Elimelech and Naomi, Mahlon and Chilion, and how that they went down into the land of Moab to dwell in the midst of a famine in the days when the judges ruled, and how that they dwelled there for 10 years. The two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, married Moabitish women, Orpah and Ruth. The Bible says that the time came to pass that the boys died and that Elimelech died, and that Naomi was left with nothing but her two daughter-in-laws. And she comes back home, and when she came back home, one of the daughter-in-laws left her on the way. The other, Ruth, said, "I'll go with you all the way back," and said, "Your people's going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God." And said, "Where you die, I'm going to die, and where you're buried, that's where I'm going to be buried." And said, "Did the Lord do also unto me, if all but death part thee and me." In other words, if I'm lying, sure as the world, the Lord just kill me where I stand. If I'm lying, I'm going to be with you all the way. And she comes back into town. They took one look at Naomi and said, "Is that Naomi?" Some said, "No, it's not her." She said, "Well, I was Naomi when I left out of here, but I'm coming back." Said, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me." And she comes back, and this is the account of what happens when they've returned, and how that God has placed Naomi's life and her daughter-in-law Ruth with the man Boaz, a near kinsman, and he is about to do for them what they cannot do for themselves in paying their debts and being a facilitator of their lives. In verse number 9 of chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, if you'd stand with us, if you're able and willing to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. In chapter 4 of Ruth, in verse number 9, the Word of the Lord says, "And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day." And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. They were witnesses of a redemption that had taken place. Naomi had lost her sons and her husband in Moab and returned with only this one daughter-in-law, Ruth, at her side into the city of Bethlehem. She said that God had dealt very bitterly with her, but in Ruth, God would turn around her bitterness with His sweet grace. And Naomi and Ruth were poor, but Boaz was a man of great wealth. Naomi and Ruth were in debt, but Boaz had the means to purchase their debt. Boaz, as a near kinsman, would buy them out of their debt. He would redeem them. He would purchase the price for them. He was their kinsman redeemer. Now this word redemption can be defined as deliverance by the payment of a price. Deliverance by the payment of a price. That is rescue and deliverance through a ransom. And that's what Jesus did for all of us who are saved. By God's grace, He redeemed us. He delivered us by the payment of a price. He rescued us and delivered us through a ransom in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, when it speaks of redemption, it's applied to property and animals and real estate and even persons in debt. But in the New Testament, it speaks and is applied to sinners whose debt was so great that they could not afford to pay. But with the precious blood of Christ, our debts are paid, our souls are bought, and our future is settled. That's why I can stand this morning with confidence and say, praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. Jesus paid the price. I could not pay it for myself. I owed a debt that I could not pay, but He paid a debt that He did not owe. I'm so glad Jesus could pay the price. I mean, He sought me and He bought me by His precious blood. And I owe it all to Jesus this morning because of what He paid for me. Thank God that I know something about redemption. I want to show you three things about redemption. Very simple. I thought this morning and I'll be done. But let me show you three things and a few things about these. Three things concerning the redemption today. First of all, I want you to see in this account the person of redemption. The person of redemption. You see, Boaz became what they would call her kinsman redeemer. Notice that these women said unto Naomi in verse number 14, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. That is, that kinsman that would redeem or pay for their debts, that his name may be famous in Israel. And that this kinsman stepped in. And now the kinsman, what he would do would be, if a man passed away and left his wife and his children without one to take care of them, one to meet their needs financially, one to own property, that they would be passed along unto this woman's children and so forth. The women were not allowed to own property and conduct business for themselves. And so if I was married to my wife and passed away, then my nearest of male relative, a brother or so forth, would be required to step in and handle her financial needs and to take care of my children. If I had no children, it was his responsibility to step in and marry that wife and then to raise a family with her, and those children that he had would be recognized as my children and would receive that inheritance that would then be passed on from me unto them by my nearest kinsman in my share. That's what he was redeeming. He was redeeming the inheritance of the future generation. Oh, my friend, and he became her kinsman redeemer. But by just these words, kinsman redeemer, we realize that not just anybody could do the job, but Boaz was a bona fide candidate for this position. Notice three things about this person of redemption this morning. This kinsman redeemer, notice his qualification. In order to be qualified to be a kinsman redeemer, a man had to have three things going for him. First of all, he had to be kin. You can't be a kinsman without being kin. I'm not the brightest bulb in the drawer, but I know that much. He had to be kin. He had to be willing to redeem them. And he had
him than Boaz. And this one was willing to buy Naomi, but he was not able to raise up children with Ruth. He said, I don't have the means. I don't have the ability. He said, I'll not have anything left for my children's inheritance. But Boaz was kin. He was able and he was willing to do so. Well, I thank God for that. So was the law nearer kin to us than Jesus. For the law related unto our flesh, that Christ was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be found equal with God. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, the law could only condemn the sinner. It could never convert the sinner. But thank God, I'm so glad that the Redeemer took the shoe. And now you don't realize what that means, maybe. But in verse number 8 it says, therefore the kinsman said unto Moab, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And now what that would mean would be that the responsibility or the steps that this man would walk would now be filled by another. And then when that man took the shoe, that meant that he was accepting this responsibility, that he was taking upon himself this job. When Boaz took the shoe, he said, yes, I'll fill the role. Yes, I'll pay the price. Yes, I'll walk into your shoes. I'll be the near kinsman redeemer. And when Jesus was yonder in heaven, and my friend, the law demanded a sacrifice. And the law demanded of us a price. We could not pay of our own sin. I'm glad Jesus took the shoe. That is, he came to earth. And he walked in our shoes. He became like unto us. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be found equal with God. But he made of himself no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. He took the shoe. Amen. Woo! He said, I'll walk in that path. I'll go that route. I'll drink the cup. Here's what he told his father in the car. I'll take that role. I'll pay the price. I'll do what's necessary. Oh, friend, he became like unto us. He walked according to the requirements of the moral law flawlessly. He fulfilled the ceremonial law fully to become our Redeemer. He was made like us, kin unto us. And yet, friend, he did it willingly. He was kin. He was willing. Oh, but anybody else that tried to do that would not have been able. But thank God he was kin. He was willing. And he is able to save them unto the uttermost and come unto God by him. As seeing ever living to make intercession for the transgressors. I bless his name. He's qualified today. He's our redemption. And the person of our redemption is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. His qualifications. And then notice, secondly, his qualities. His qualities. If you study the book of Ruth, you'll find a man in the name of Boaz who's a man who is merciful. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's loving. We have no record of anything he ever did against Ruth. Everything he ever did was for Ruth. How we have no record of ever anything that he did, my friend, that did not benefit her. But all he did was to be a blessing and to be a help and to benefit Ruth. I'm telling you, God ain't never done me nothing but good. He's never done me anything except help me. Everything Jesus ever did, he did it for you and he did it for me. It's for our benefit, for our good, and for his glory. Oh, my friend, I thank God that I know a Savior with such qualities. Oh, what a precious Lord. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through mind, somebody is saying, Christ Jesus, there is nobody, nobody like my Lord. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus loved me. Nobody's ever treated me like Jesus treats me. I tell you, He's a sweet Lord. Hey, I said, girl, in Song of Solomon, I said, what is thy beloved more than any other beloved? She began to describe him. She said, he's got the prettiest hair. I said, he's got strong shoulders. I said, you wouldn't believe what a good man that he is. He's got perfume dripping off his fingertips. When she got down to it, she said, in Song of Solomon in chapter 5, in verse 16, said, he's just altogether lovely. Everything about him's right. Somebody said, what is it that you love about Jesus? I can tell you a whole lot quicker what it is that I don't love about him, because there's nothing on that list. I tell you, he's altogether lovely. I love him because he first loved me. He's got the qualities that you're looking for this morning. How and only Jesus does. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. He shed his life's blood for you and me. He's our kinsman redeemer.
Amen. The person of redemption, his qualifications, his qualities. And then I want you to notice this morning his quantity. The quantity of the Redeemer. Oh, there's only one. You can go where you want. You can try to count them up. You can try to enumerate the numbers of ways to heaven, friend. Oh, but you don't have to be able to count very far, because there's only one. Amen. How both men could not have made this redemption. They could not enter into a partnership. Oh, my friend, they would not share. Now, we're sharing a few things in this world. I'll share the road. I might share a table with you. But I ain't sharing my wife. Amen. They wasn't about to share. They was not going to both enter into a partnership. It'd be one or the other. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. I'll tell you, friend, there's only one. No other candidate could have stepped forward for this job. And no other was fully qualified. I tell you, if he'll redeem you, that's all or nothing. That's saved or lost. That's born again or hell bound. Hell, my friend, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Oh, my friend, he's the Redeemer. You can look here and there for answers, but you'll find it only in one person.
Well, this week I heard an evangelist being interviewed on a news radio station concerning the predictions made by the false prophet in Oakland, California, that was given from hell, and it was not of the Lord. And somebody said, that seemed like strong language. Well, everybody's here this morning. Amen. It was not given of the Lord. It was of hell. It was not of God. It was of the devil. Amen, amen, and amen. Jesus said, no man knows the day, nor the eye of the Son of Mankind. He said, the angels in heaven don't even know. I don't even know. The Father only. Now listen, if there's something Jesus don't know, no use in you pretending like you do. Amen, amen, amen. That's exactly right. But they were interviewing this guy, this evangelist of sorts, and I don't know who he was. But they got done talking to him about what Jesus said concerning his return, and how that it could be at any moment, at any time. That it don't need to be May the 21st. And there doesn't need to be a kook or a loon somewhere or another on a ham radio or on the internet predicting that he's coming back at 6 o'clock at dinner time. That he can come, and my friend, at any time. And he'll come in an hour that you think not. When you're not looking for him, when you least expect him. Somebody say amen right there. Oh, that's exactly right. But then they asked him, said, what about? What about this other Messiah that came a time after our Lord Jesus? He said, who you are talking about? They said, Muhammad. That man
said he's not a Messiah. Said he was devil possessed. Said he gave us a Bible from hell. And he gave us a religion full of violence. And said he didn't know God. And all I could do was say amen, amen, and amen. I tell you, friend, it's not a matter of being born again. It's not multiple choice. Would you choose route to heaven, A, B, C, or D? I tell you, J, S, U, S, or none at all. You'll either get saved through Jesus. You'll either be redeemed by Him. He'll either be your Savior and Lord and Redeemer and friend, or you'll die lost without God. Somebody said, but I'm a Baptist. Doesn't matter to me, friend. God's not a Baptist. Amen. But I go to church. But I'm religious. That's Jesus, friend. That's Jesus. I don't care what your last name is. Doesn't matter. Hey, doesn't matter who your daddy or your mommy is. There's only one door to heaven. There's only one door. My friend, Jesus fixed it that way. The rich and the poor go in the same door. For Jesus fixed it that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I hear Jesus say, so if you want to go, you'll have to go in by Him, because He's the only way. It doesn't matter if it's my girls and boys or your girls and boys. Doesn't matter, friend, if it's my grandchildren, my family members. Doesn't matter if it's my friend. It doesn't matter if it's black or white, how rich or poor. I tell you, if you're not saved by grace through faith, and not of works, it's a gift of God. And not of works, as any man should boast. If you're not saved the Bible way, and you're not redeemed, and you owe a debt you can't pay for, and you'll find yourself unprepared on judgment day.
That's right.
Amen. That's not complicated. It's just right preaching.
Amen.
The person of redemption. It's one. The quantity. There's only one. His qualifications, His qualities, His quantity. And then notice secondly this morning, the price of redemption. To redeem something, you must pay a price. Oh, my friend, the nearer kinsman was interested in purchasing that tract of land that once belonged to Naomi's husband Elimelech and to her sons Mahlon and Chilion. Oh, my friend, he was interested in buying that tract of land, and with that tract, taking Naomi to care for financially for the remainder of her life. It was worth it. She was past childbearing age, and so taking her in was only a financial responsibility, and he was willing to do that. But you see, that was not all. He also had to take Ruth, for since both women were widows, the responsibility of them both came together, and Ruth was of childbearing age with no sons, which meant he would have also have had to marry her and raise up children with her. The price was just higher than he could or would afford to pay. But Boaz said, if you'll just let me, I'll pay the price. If you'll just let me, I'll pay the cost. I will foot the bill. I'm so glad Jesus paid the price. He purchased us with His own blood. Notice the price of redemption. He took Boaz, giving all that he had. You see, there was a lot of baggage to accept in this deal. A Moabitish woman, the debts of three deceased men, and the future of a family. But Boaz gave all that he had by bearing children with Ruth. She and her children would be the heirs of all that he had. Oh, my friend, thank God. He knew it would take all he had to redeem her, but he still paid the price. He made her his bride, and he gave her all that he had. Romans 8:32 said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I tell you, he'll not withhold one good thing from them. He'll walk uprightly, is what he said in Psalm chapter 84. I tell you, thank God, he paid the price. And what did Jesus give me, preacher? He gave you all that he had. Everything heaven's got belongs to the saints of God. Oh yes, we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are
are subject to the best. That heaven can afford. God is not dead. Heaven, my friend, is not bankrupt. And He will take care of us. He's given us all that He has.
The price redemption, all that He had. The price redemption was that He had to pay for Naomi, the Jew, and Ruth, the Gentile. He didn't just pay the law. The nearer kinsman, which is the top of the law, said, I'll pay for Naomi. I'll take care of the Jew now. But that Gentile, if you ask me to do that, that's just too much for me. If you're asking me now to make that Gentile my bride, that's just too much for me. But you know what Boaz said? He said, that's all right. If you'll let me, I'll pay for Naomi too. But I'll also take that old Gentile and I'll marry her and I'll make her my bride. And I'll love her and I'll have my friend have offspring with her. And I'll love her children and I'll be good to her. Oh, my friend, that's what Jesus did. He came first into the house of Israel, friend. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then, thank God, He was also a light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of my people Israel, according to Luke 2 and 32. Oh, thank God, the debts of both Jew and Gentile were paid. And they were paid by the same man. Somebody said, where do the Jews get saved? Same man. Amen. Same Redeemer. Same Savior. They were paid by the same man. I want to say it again. That's paid by the same man. I tell you, Jesus. Somebody said they don't recognize Him as Messiah. Those that will get saved will recognize Him as Messiah. Or they'll never get saved. It is paid by the same man. And then I'll say it's paid in the same manner. He paid for my sin and your sin, the sin of the Jews, all on the cross of Calvary. As He shed His blood for us, it is paid for by the same man. It is paid for in the same manner. It was Jesus, and He paid the price for us. Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My little girls, I teach them that verse. I can get down to the end of that verse. A little Grace, about 4 or 5 years old, and she said, Daddy, who are the Greeks? I said, well, there's two classes of people in the world recognized in the Bible. There's the Jews and there's everybody else. When He says the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Greek, my friend, were those that primarily ruled and super-ruled the rest of the world. The Greek Empire had given way to the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was run by men who were educated in Greek philosophy and theology and so forth. And their ideas of the cosmos and of man and all these things. And I said, there is the Jew and the Greek is everybody else. She said, well, who is that? I said, baby doll, that's us. Amen. There's a Jew and the Greek is us. And she said that when we get down to the end of that verse, for years we quoted every night, we'd say the Jew first and also the Greek. And she'd already been doing like this. And as soon as we said that word Greek, and she'd say, Daddy, that's us. You listen to me this morning. I'm telling you, it's the power of God and the salvation. You're a Jew and also the Greek. And Brother Matthew, that's us. That's us. That's us. I don't care who you are, friend. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. It's you. It's me. Thank God. He paid the price. He's already paid for your salvation. If you'll accept it this morning, He's our Redeemer. He paid the price of redemption for us.
Amen.
All that He had, that's how much it cost. He paid for Naomi the Jew, Ruth the Gentile. And then, I want to say concerning this price, He made a down payment to her directly. Look at chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 11. Chapter 3 and verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will. Well, we could just stop right there, can't we? What about that now?
Well, how many times has the Lord seen fit when you'd ask Him to say, "Fear not, I will. I will." Oh, will the Lord save me? He will. Will the Lord forgive me? He will. Will the Lord love me? He will. Will the Lord pay the price for my sin? He will. Amen. Will He redeem me? He will. He will. He will. He said, "Fear not, I will do all unto thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman. Well, then let him do the part kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until in the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. This is at the threshing floor where the threshing wheat. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came to the floor." And he also, he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee." That was her cloak, if you will, her coat, her outer garment. "And hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And as she went into the city, I like that, "laid it on her" business. Oh, thank God. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" She knew who Ruth was. She was asking her, "Have you changed names yet? Are you married yet?" Amen. And my wife, before we got married, I said, "Sit down and sign her name over and over and over again." And she'd sign her name and practice Sonya Powers. And now she wasn't Sonya Powers yet. But by the time she got to be, she had the signature down pretty good. Amen. And she said, "Who art thou?" Oh, my friend, she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" And notice she said, "Here's proof positive. Here's the evidence that he will do what he said he would." And the mother-in-law looked at that. And verse 18, then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished this thing this day." How she looked at the evidence. And she said, "He's going to do what he said he would." I tell you, friend, listen. I'm talking about a down payment. Those 6 measures of barley, it showed that he was serious. It was like putting earnest money down. It was a seal to the promise. And the Bible says, and he laid it on her. How that is with abundance, to place with wide distribution, to give gladly. How he's not withheld anything from us, but he has even now given unto us the earnest of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1 and 13, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, that gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance." That is a down payment, if you will, unto the redemption of purchased possession, out of the praise of his glory. This earnest money or down payment was a promise of even better things to come. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit works in our lives, it shows us God is serious about his relationship with us. And he has begun a good thing in you. He will perform it unto the day of redemption. How I bless his name. He paid the price.
Amen.
Gave us that down payment. How do you know he's serious about it? I know he's serious because of the evidence. He said, "Hold out the veil," and he laid it on her. The veil is that outer garment. I'm still living in this old house of flesh, this old house of clay. But friend, if you'll give your body living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, if you'll give this body unto Jesus, he'll take the Holy Ghost as a down payment on what's coming yonder in heaven, and he'll lay it on you. Amen. He'll give it to you with abundance and without hesitation, with wide distribution. He'll give it gladly. Amen. Oh, bless his high and holy name. The person of redemption, the price of redemption. And finally, I'm closing with this tonight. Today, the power of redemption. I noticed, friend, the power of redemption. I thought about that Kyle Rowland song yesterday as I was studying this. It says, redeemed is such a small word, but it means the world to me. How it means bread, life, and all the things that we need. What a powerful redemption we know. How powerful is it, preacher? It's powerful enough to pay the debt. I mean, friend, Naomi and Ruth had no means to pay, but Boaz paid it all. It's powerful enough to supply the need. Not one thing went lacking that Ruth needed. She once had gleaned in this man's field. That is, she picked up the scraps after the reapers had already got everything they could. I was just hoping to get enough corn and make for one meal for one day. But now she sits at his table. She's resting in his home. And she's trusting in his care. Oh, I'm not living, my friend, in the slop buckets of old sinful Moab. I'm not dwelling on the banks of the sandy banks of Egypt's land. But I'm glad I can have milk and honey. I'm down at the master's table. Oh, my friend rested in his care. Every need he is supplying. Plenteous grace he does bestow. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I bless his name. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I tell you, so powerful, it supplied the need.
Amen. Paid the debt, supplied the need. I like this one. How powerful is that redemption? It was powerful enough to remove her reproach. Now she comes back from Moab and she's a foreigner. My great grandma would say it this way: she ain't our kind of people. Now, I don't know exactly what her kind of people was, but that's what she'd say about anybody that was the slightest bit different than her. She'd say, now they ain't our kind of people. That's what she'd say. Oh, my. And that's what those folks were saying about her. She comes back from Moab. She don't talk like everybody else. She don't look like everybody else. She has strange ways that don't match everybody else. They made a mockery out of her. They laughed at her. Oh, my friend, she was a stranger in that land. She came from a place where men were sinful, where the people were idolaters, where folks lived in sin and wickedness and filth, and they did not worship the God of heaven. How Ruth was known in chapter 2 and verse 6 as that Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Somebody said, who is that? They said, oh, that's that old Moabite woman. That woman, you know, the one that come back with Naomi, one she ought not to even have down there. The one her son should have never married. That old sorry girl from that old sorry country. That place that God called his wash pot in Psalm 60 and 8, I believe it is. How, my friend? And they talked ugly about her. They said she's that Moabite damsel. Paying Ruth 4 and 13. She becomes Boaz's bride. How, I said a while ago, when Sonia and I were married, she's given my name. As some now seem resistant to this. But she was excited about it. I don't understand a woman that'll marry a man and not take his name. Somebody say amen right there. Are you ashamed to be identified with your husband? If you are, you're not to have married him. Say amen again. That's right. Oh, my friend. Hey. Oh, my friend. But Sonia, after her receiving my name, her receiving the name Powers, she was excited about it. It identified her as my bride. How Ruth had a name as people sneered at her. And my friend, they made fun of her. And she was a Moabite woman. But she received Boaz's name. And it took away her reproach. She was no longer that Moabite woman. She was Boaz's bride. Oh, hey. And some of you had a name before you ever got saved. You had a name somebody called you. You had a name that you would have said about yourself. You'd have pled guilty. What they're saying's right. You had a reputation. Oh, but thank God.
this morning. And now he's mine. I've identified myself with Jesus. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to bear his name. I'm not ashamed to be identified with him. It's rolled away my reproach. I remember what you were before you got saved. Yes, and I do too, but he don't. And I've cast my lot in with Jesus, and now I'm his. I bless his holy name. I've taken his name. I've been identified with him, and my sins are gone.
Amen.
Amen. It took away her reproach. Matter of fact, it did so much so that just marrying this man meant that she was no longer a stranger, but she was now a part of the people of God. Oh my. Somebody said, I just don't feel like I fit in at the house of God. It's amazing how when you get saved just in an instant, those feelings all change. All of a sudden, you'll have a place amongst the people of God. Well, as far as we're concerned, you've got a place here today. We're letting you glean among the reapers this morning. That is, we're glad to have you here in this field. And Boaz said unto her, before he ever married her, said, don't you go gleaning in nobody else's field now. You just stay right here. And if you're lost this morning, that's what the Lord's saying. Don't go nowhere else looking for what you need. You'll find it in me. You just stay right here. Amen. That she never felt like she had a place until he redeemed her, married her, and made her his bride. And then she had a place among the people of God. I'm so glad he's given us his name. It doesn't matter what your reputation was before. You were redeemed. You can have his name. He can take away your reproach. You can have a place among the people of God. You too can be an old-time Christian. And then I'm going to say finally, the power of redemption is that he changed her future and her posterity. He changed her future and her posterity. Psalm 49:8 said, for the redemption of their soul is precious. I'll tell you, it'll change your future. Ruth's future in Moab was more of the same. But it all changed under Boaz's redemption. Her children had a hope that she didn't realize existed for them before because of who their father was. Her great-grandson, she gave birth to a boy named Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David. Her great-grandson would become king over all of the land of Israel. She was gleaning in the field and picking up scraps that folks left behind. Food laying on the ground that is left over that nobody else wanted just to get enough for a meal when she met Boaz. Oh my. But now that she's met Boaz, she's a member of a royal family. Thank God. That's where we were till we met him. Just picking up scraps, just trying to get through today. We'll worry about tomorrow when he gets here. But he changed our future and our posterity. There's a hope for your children. Somebody said I didn't have a Christian heritage like you did, preacher. Well, thank God you can start one. He can change your future and your posterity. Oh, he'll bless your family. Thank God he'll change your family tree. Amen, that's right. Oh, thank God. And this promise is unto you and to your children and them which are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Yes, he'll change your future and your posterity. Make all the difference in the world. You know why that you can look at your children and say they've got a hope? Because of the kinsman redeemer. It is a troubled, mixed up, messed up world. I mean, it is. I know that. I'm telling you, I live in a perpetual state of befuddlement. I'm confused every day. I'm disturbed every day looking around at the mess that's going on around me. I don't understand nothing we do no more. I don't understand what we do as a country, as a government, as a society, as an economy. I don't understand what individuals do. What possesses people to do the stupid things that they do? I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand how people can color a hair all colors and make it stick up high and stick things in their eyebrows and their nose. And my friend paint their bodies all. I don't understand how people do the things that they do. It's crazy. We are living in an insane world, friend. I mean, it just does not make sense to me. This crazy world that we're living in. And if just through the natural eye I were to examine this world and look at the next 25, 30, 40 years for my children, if the Lord does not return in that time frame, through just a natural eye, I'd say they are in some serious trouble. But then I'm reminded that they would be. But thank God, they're not walking alone. We've got a Redeemer. We've got a Savior. And the same Lord for me. The world may change. Society may change. Time may change. Church may change. Preacher may change. People may change. But the Lord will never change. He'll still be God, friend. Woo! For my children and for yours, He'll still be God.
He'll still be God. There's a hope. There's a promise. There's a blessing for my children and for yours because of this Redeemer. The question this morning before you is the same question that was before the children of Israel when Pilate brought out the man Jesus. He said, "What wilt thou do with this man, Jesus, the King of the Jews?" I wonder, friend, what wilt thou do with this man? Redemption's available. He's saying, "All that are coming to me." He said, "All that are coming to me, I shall receive them." And he said, "And I will in no wise cast them out. All that my Father give me." He said, "Ho, him that thirsteth, come and let him buy milk and wine without money and without cost." He said, "Let him that thirsteth take of the water of life freely." The invitation is open to you. The question is, what will you do with this man called Jesus, the King of the Jews? He's already paid the price. Your redemption's already been bought and paid for if you will accept it. You remember whenever the man comes, I believe it's Eleazar, to find Isaac a wife. And they ask him, he said, "I've got to leave tonight and go back to Isaac's house. I can't stay any longer. I must leave." And he said, "Ask the woman, will she go? Ask Rebecca, will she go?" They said, "Wilt thou go with this man?" She said, "I will go." I wonder today if the Holy Ghost is tugging at your heart and pointing at Jesus and saying, "Wilt thou go with this man? Will you accept his redemption that he's paid for? Will you trust in him to be your Lord and Savior, the bridegroom, the purchaser and payer of your life? Will you accept him to be your provider and friend? Wilt thou go with this man?" You must answer in the affirmative. "I will go. I'll accept Jesus. I will trust Him. He can be my Redeemer. He'll be my friend. And I love Him because He first loved me." I wonder, what wilt thou do with this man called Jesus? Please stand to your feet if you need to come and talk to the Lord this morning. They're coming with a song to sing. Thank God for salvation full and free. That Jesus paid it all. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus paid it all. Have you received the generous gift of God made possible through the Redeemer for yourself, personally, individually, in your life? Do you know what it's like to know Him? If you don't, make this day, make this place, the time and the place where you get it right with God. Make yourself a spot here in this altar and talk to the Lord. If you need to cast anything at the Savior's feet, slain or sinner alike, would you come to this old-fashioned altar and talk to the Lord? He cares about your troubles and He'll help you this morning. Not one thing will He withhold. All our needs He is supplied. Plenteous grace He does bestow. Oh, thank God. Oh yes, every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve and the sweeter He grows. If you need to call on the Lord, make your way to the altar and talk to the Lord this morning. Sing when you're ready. If you need to pray, would you come and talk to the Lord today, friend? You need to pray, would you come? Oh, what a precious Savior. What a marvelous friend. This man called Jesus. Amen. Need to talk to the Lord. Do you know for sure that you're saved?
is. He cares about what you're going through. He'll rightly identify you. Make you the object of His affection and love.
Used to sing that when she was just a kid, and Jimmy Meadlines would shout just about every time and testify just about every time, and almost every time he'd say the same thing. Really wouldn't matter how wonderful he was, how great he was, how marvelous he was, if I didn't know him. But thank God he's mine. Thank God that he's mine. I'm glad he is. I'm glad I know him. He's mine and I'm his forever. Have you obeyed the Lord this morning? Done everything the good Holy Ghost of God's troubled your heart to do in this meeting today?